I'm Peter Sagal, and I love to sustain. I like to sustain notes when I play the piano. Say a nice middle E held for about 10 minutes. I like to sustain grudges. I've been mad at Jonathan Chandross for 45 years, and I don't even remember why. Mainly, though, I like to sustain my NPR station with automatic monthly donations. You, too, can know the joy of a sustaining membership. Here's how.
Just go to our website, wjffradio.org, and click the donate button.
And thank you to everybody that's gone to WJFFradio.org to do just that so far, helping us out with our summer pledge drive as we roll along. And as we roll along through the news here, we're approaching the end of the first hour of All Things Considered. It's time to check in with our first guest. And as you've been hearing in the news the past few days, the question of whether schools will reopen in the fall, how that might happen, what a reopened school might look like in the midst of an ongoing pandemic. It's a question that is dominating the news. Many parents and teachers are waiting to hear whether their local school districts will reopen in the fall. Yesterday, we spoke to a local teacher. Joining us now is Paula Tawa, a parent whose five-year-old would normally attend Sullivan West, and she's torn about school reopening. Paula, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's great. Now, am I saying your last name correctly? I forgot already.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. I think you probably feel the way a lot of parents and teachers, administrators feel, which is this, it's kind of an equivocal thing. There's ups and downs to this question of whether or not you should send your child to school. How are you approaching this issue? What do you think about?
I personally believe that I am not, even with all the amazing efforts that his teachers put forth towards the end of last year, my kid just does not learn as well for me, and socially there's a lot missing there. So that's the major motivator, I think, for my wanting school to be possible come September. That said, I don't think the risks are really anything that I personally am torn over. I don't think our teachers and the staff at the schools are getting paid enough to put themselves in potential jeopardy. And the risks to the community are also kind of, pretty red flag flying, for lack of better words.
Yeah. I'll let you know, you're breaking up just a little bit, so I don't know if you're moving or if you're in a place where the reception comes in good.
I'll get closer to the router.
There you go. Now, I mean, can you just talk a little bit about your son and where you are? You have a five-year-old. Would he be going into kindergarten for the first time?
He would be starting kindergarten. He did pre-K at Sullivan West last year, and his teachers and teachers' aides were really, they went above and beyond to kind of normalize the situation as much as possible and incorporate the social interaction as much as humanly possible through screens, which was a really comforting experience in difficult times.
Right.
That said, my dude's kind of on the shyer side of the spectrum, and he's not outgoing in the same way when he's with us as when he's kind of free in his own space, which is a beautiful thing that school offered him.
Right.
So that's kind of a big thing that's missed, I guess.
I can't imagine. I'm not a parent, so it's hard for me to get my head around these things the same way that parents would anyway. But I will say some of my own prejudices when I think about the issue of students doing this remote learning. I almost never picture somebody as young as your son. When I think about students having to deal with this, I'm picturing slightly older students. So I can't even imagine, you know, what that's like for somebody in pre-K or kindergarten or even first grade to be remote learning. Like, I remember watching Mr. Rogers. I can't imagine what I would have done if I had to, like, talk back to Mr. Rogers, you know, in real time.
Well, and it's It's super weird because I think a lot of us kind of have tried to maybe limit or monitor the screen time that our kids get and all of that. So it's weird now learning, transitioning more towards that and kind of just finding a balance.
Yeah, and this pandemic has done that with so many things. Turned some of our practices on the ear of what you would normally do in a situation. So, yeah, you've gone from reducing screen time to necessarily having to advocate for it. What are you hearing, if anything, from other parents? Are you talking to other parents about the question of reopening? And if so, what's the consensus, if any?
I mean, there's this sense of, you know, I need my kid in school. I think those of us that work, especially those of us that, you know, don't necessarily have flexibility through our employment or that are self-employed, it's a really difficult balancing act, especially once the learning gets a little more in-depth and you really need to kind of guide them through it a little more. I'm lucky that most of what he learns is how to be a decent human in the alphabet, you know?
Right.
But it's difficult because it's a lot of us aren't necessarily getting paid enough either to really give the kids the experience that we'd like at home. So that's the conflict, I think. But most of the people I've spoken to, I don't know if it's because of where we are and who I know, but there's that sense of that we don't want the community put in jeopardy. We don't want our teachers and our people that we rely on, the grandparents, you know, those that have health risks or a compromised immune system, to really be potentially sacrificed. It's an inconvenience to us to have to keep them home and to have to exercise this new mode of parenting that encompasses a little more education than maybe some of us are used to. But it's a true hazard to those that are compromised. So that's kind of been the biggest thing that I've been hearing.
And there you have. That's just some of the inherent conflict. I mean, you're outlining two very good concerns that are in opposition: the quality of education and the quality of experience you can provide for your child and the other parents can provide at home versus what they would get in a school setting. And that, on one hand, balancing out against just these questions of safety. You've got a bigger picture concern about that safety. It's not just for you and your family, which you're obviously concerned about, but you're thinking about the wider community as well.
Well, I think I'm really lucky to be in this area. Calicoon specifically has offered me such a rich and invested community to be a part of. And I think one of the truly beautiful things that has happened in all of this turmoil and difficulty is that people have really kind of shown up to care for one another. And I think that needs to be especially considered for those that are helping us educate and raise our children.
Right. And, you know, and in among all this, I will share this with you. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but when we were waiting, just as we're waiting for word on what's going to happen in the fall, we were waiting for a while for official word on what was going to happen this spring. There was a question for quite a while about whether or not schools were going to reopen, even though it didn't really make much sense for them to, at least to me.
I'm with you.
And when the official word came down, I got a teacher to talk to who's from a little further upstate. But he comes from a household where both he and his wife are teachers and they're parents, and they've got two school-age children. And one of the biggest takeaways from that interview was him saying, like, he can't imagine how hard this is for parents because he's struggling and his wife were struggling to teach their own kids at home, and they're trained educators. They've got all of these resources at their disposal. They have all this training and expertise. And even they were struggling because, as he pointed out, it's a different dynamic. A parent-child dynamic is different than a student-teacher dynamic.
Completely. And I think there's also something really amazing that happens for human beings when they get to learn from various people and various sources and learn the specificities of all these different dynamics.
Right. And also that overlapping with the socialization experience. Being a kindergartner and just like going to school, that's a big step. That's your introduction to the world.
Completely. Oh,
my goodness. So it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to take in. When are you following the timeline? The fact that the governor said yesterday, basically, it's the end of this month that every school district has to have their plan in to the governor and his administration at the state level. And then by the end of the following week, they'll announce their decisions. That would be the first week of August. What do you think of that timeline, and how does that affect how you make up your mind about what you'll do?
I'm honestly not too keen on making up my mind so far ahead, just for us and our family. I mean, I have a business in town on Main Street, and I'm seeing all these people from the outside and from down south, make their way to our beautiful towns. And it's amazing to have, businesses operational and all of that again, but we don't know what the impact of all these people is going to be. And everyone has varying degrees of precaution. So I've spoken to my husband a lot about it, and we're kind of just playing it by ear more than we are going by the government's timelines.
Right, right. So you've got enough to evaluate on your own.
I mean, I feel like there's so much that's unknown about all of it, about the long-lasting effects should somebody, get the virus and all of these things. It's just, we've still got another month and a half before any kids are really going to be walking through those doors. And I want to see how the next few weeks unfold before I really commit to kind of sending him back out into the world.
We're going to have to go here in just a minute, but I mean, you mentioned that you do have a business. It's on the lower Main Street there in Calicoon. This is, POW Shop and Studio, or PAO Shop and Studio?
It's POW Shop and Studio,
For Paola. And so are you in phase four? Are you open to foot traffic? Had you already been open to foot traffic? And if so, or if not, however it is, how's it going?
I opened for the first time this past weekend. I've been mostly doing by appointments just to kind of monitor the foot traffic and make sure that everything can be cleaned and whatever else. People are really eager to get out there, and it's nice to have the interactions and the traffic, but, times are uncertain. So business will be slow to pick up should it pick up again, and that's okay, because we're not, we're not in normal times. But again, we're lucky to be where community cares to support, and I'm fortunate for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this input as a parent with somebody who wants to go back to school, and also as a local business owner. The POW Shop and Studio is on Facebook. Paola Tawa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Great. You're listening to Radio Catskill. We are your community radio station. We're streaming online at WJFFradio.org. You can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at WJFFradio.
In times of uncertainty, you might be listening to Radio Catskill a little more than usual. That's because you know you can come here for essential information as well as for comfort and community. I'm Brad Mann, host of Neonatal Pulse every Sunday. The team at this station is committed to keeping you connected with the information you need, as well as grounded when things feel less stable. Radio Catskill is made possible thanks to the generous support of listeners like you. Please give at WJFFradio.org now to keep it going. Your support makes a difference.